Hello and welcome to episode 47 of One Rep at a Time by CultFit. This is your host, Deepak Gopalakrishnan, aka Chuck. Today, we have something very interesting for you. We are going to try our first AMA or Ask Me Anything. So a week back, we had asked some of you on our socials and through other means to send in your questions regarding fitness and nutrition. And today, we are going to get those answered. We are going to get them answered by two very special people. One is Chandni Haldurai, nutritionist, head nutritionist at Cult Transform, who listeners of this podcast will know have spoken to before. That's episode 10. I urge you to check that out. I think it's a really, really nice introduction to fitness from a nutrition point of view. And a second is Rahul Basak. Anyone who's worked out with the Cult live sessions will definitely have worked out or seen Rahul. He's a strength and conditioning coach and ACE certified personal trainer. And he's a certified rehab trainer and CrossFit L1 as well. He has developed the course curriculum and trains coaches at Transform. So he's going to be speaking more from a strength and the exercise point of view, whereas Chandani is going to be speaking more from a nutrition point of view. There are about 20 questions to get into, so let's jump right into them. Welcome to the first ever AMA on One Rep at a Time.
Welcome to One Rep at a Time, a podcast from CultFit that encourages you to become a healthier, better, and happier version of yourself by building small, sustainable habits. Let's welcome your host, Deepak Gopalakrishnan, or Chuck.
All right, everyone. Welcome to One Rep at a Time. And I am super excited because it's the first AMA that we're doing. So fingers crossed, I hope this goes off well. Let me introduce the two. It's not AMA, it's ATA, Ask Them Anything, because I'm not going to answer any of the questions. So let me introduce the them to you. First up, we have Rahul Basak. Anyone who's done the Cult live sessions would have definitely seen Rahul at some point of time. Rahul, thanks so much for taking the time and welcome to One Rep at a Time.
Thank you. Thank you, Deepak. Super excited to be here today.
Lovely. And Chandani, I should say welcome back to One Rep at a Time. You were one of our earliest interviewees and that we really kickstarted our the conversation on nutrition from there. So thank you so much for taking the time again and welcome back to One Rep at a Time.
Thank you. Thank you, Chuck. And it's really nice to be back.
Lovely. So let's just jump right into this. We have a fair few number of questions over here, and I'm not going to go through this in any particular order, but I think a nice one to start with is this one that Shruti had sent in. And I think it's a fairly basic question to start with. Can I reduce weight by just walking and dieting and no other intense exercise? I think, Rahul, I think this would be a good one for you to start off with.
I think yes, you can reduce weight by just walking and focusing on a balanced diet, which is nutritious. The idea is simple, right? Like if you move frequently, move throughout the day and eat a very nutritious and a balanced meal, you are going to lose weight. However, I would just like to add into it is that like if weight loss is only the criteria that you're looking at, that's enough. But if you're looking at overall health, then I think at some point of time, like once you've started moving around a lot or maybe walking around a lot, you should also add in some form of exercise, because that's going to help you stay healthy for a longer duration of time. Plus, it's going to help you also maintain the weight that you have lost, right? So I would say, yes, it could help you to lose weight, but gradually it's good to add some form of strength training, especially into your routine.
Yeah. I would personally, I would concur with that. There was a time when I was doing only cardio, basically just long cycle rides. It helped to some extent, but then weight loss pretty much plateaued after that. And it was, quite easily came back after that. So I can speak from experience myself. Chandni, would you like to add to that as well?
Yeah, I think like Rahul mentioned, right, if weight loss is the only goal and you don't have any other goals in your mind, then of course, you know, like walking and dieting can help. Of course, dieting means a lot of things. So I think we will go into the detail in the session. But yes, I think, you know, doing a strength training and having a good cardio workout and mobility training all balanced in a good way can take you one step ahead of just weight loss, you know, like keeps you a little more healthy.
Perfect. And I have a second question here. A person prefers to remain anonymous, but I think it's a Sort of like similar to this question, sort of like the next step. So how do you maintain your weight after dieting and losing weight? So it's kind of like, okay, I've done whatever you said till now. Now I've lost weight. Now what do I do? How do you maintain your weight? How do you maintain that weight loss?
So weight maintenance is basically, you know, like balancing your overall activities plus the diet that you've done so far. So for weight loss, you would have gone on a calorie deficit where you would be eating lesser than what you are burning out. So in a weight maintenance, I think you will be in a calorie maintenance where you will be eating in a level where your output is also equal to it. So that way you'll be able to maintain a particular number of weight altogether. And if you want to gain weight, I think you go on a calorie surplus.
Yeah.
So there are certain types of activities also for which I think Rahul can add in here, you know, for maintenance of muscle mass or making sure that you stay in a particular weight.
Yes, I think this question is very much related to the previous question that you asked, right? I think we also need to understand that our body is much smarter than we think. Right. When we basically go into a calorie deficit, what also happens in our body is that our basal metabolic rate, right, that also slows down a bit. Right. And that's why what we see is that a lot of time, the maintaining that weight becomes slightly more difficult over a period of time. We might have lost some weight and then suddenly we see that weight coming back. What's happening with our body? Right. And that's why I mentioned this point that yes, you can start off with some basic movement throughout the day, eat a healthy, balanced meal, right? But two things are very important. One is that what you are eating, it's not only about just being in a calorie deficit. What you are eating, that really makes a big difference. Are you eating a balanced meal or not? Which I'm sure Channi would definitely tell you about that. How does a balanced meal looks like? A lot of veggies, a good amount of protein, lean proteins, and a good amount of complex carbohydrate, right? Plus, when you maintain a good strength routine, you do not allow your body's metabolism go down, right? You keep your metabolism intact. Like when you have good amount of muscle mass in your body, your basal metabolic rate does not allow you to slow down. Yeah. Like muscle mass are slightly more metabolically active than your fat cells, right? So that is the one way what I feel like you keep eating a balanced meal just by calorie deficit. It's not going to work for a longer duration of time. You need to know what you're eating.
Yeah.
Right. And plus maintaining a good strength or a workout routine. That's how you basically maintain your weight once you have lost that weight.
Yeah. So, you know, one thing that surprises me as I am doing research for these episodes and talking about all kinds of things that are happening inside the body and all that, is that the basics of things are actually quite simple. If you just keep three or four principles in mind, that takes care of pretty much everything, you know, and all other questions are just various ways of getting there. Like if I were to think of three concepts, there would be one, the balance plate concept that we spoke about so much and we've done entire episodes on before, and we've written and Cult has written a fairly nice blog on the whole thing as well. The second thing is, if you want to lose weight, your calories burnt has to be more than calories taken in. I think there is, I don't think any level of science or whatever pills you take or anything is going to change that equation. And three, there needs to be a balance of strength and cardio for 4 to 5 days a week. I think these three simple principles I've seen applied to so many different aspects of not just weight loss, but if I get into something like, say, gut health, for example. Mm-hmm. We start off a little bit about talking about what gut health, et cetera, actually is. But then when you get down to, how do you maintain a good gut health, maintain good gut health and all that, it still goes back to the same few principles. And along with the three things that I said, I would also say sleep, of course, 7 to 8 hours of sleep minimum is super important. So it's just, this is not a question that I have, but it's just an observation that I have of doing like 45, 46 odd episodes of this podcast, that everything seems to come back to these same three or four basics, no matter where the question is kind of starting from. So I'd like to mention that right up front itself, and we've done a lot of episodes on this already. So anyone who has questions on this, I'll go back and check. And this is a nice piece of, this is a nice line that I read on some website. I think the website is something like, is this food healthy or not? And if you ask something that's out of the database, they'll say, we don't have this in our database. But remember, if you have to ask, it's likely unhealthy. And I thought that was a very nice way of thinking about it. And I'm sure Chandri will agree with that. I have a few other, some are specific questions, and Parminder asked a nice one related to milk. Can we drink milk before sleeping every day, or is that a bad idea? Chandni, your take on this?
Yes. So so you can take milk. You know, it's not that it's unhealthy altogether. And especially before, going to sleep, I think, milk has to get, a warm milk can help you have a better sleep. So it is a good idea to take milk before going to bed. However, try to have at least an hour's gap before going to bed, after taking the milk, basically. Mm. So give a gap of at least 1 hour so that your body, takes the milk and, make sure it has protein as well, right? It takes a lot of time to digest. So your body will undergo the digestion process and all those things, and then it will help you have a better sleep after that. Wonderful. So you can take milk. However, the issues on milk is that, most of the milk that we get these days are, processed. So I think that is where the unhealthy quotient comes in. So if you have access to fresh milk, then that is good. If you don't have access to fresh milk, then whatever is available around you, try to go for the fat-free milks if your goal is to lose weight.
Fabulous. And if I remember correctly from our interview, you also mentioned, so while you said 1 hour for milk, you also mentioned, I think, 3 to 4 hours for dinner. Keep that time between dinner and sleep. I think that's interesting. Rahul, on that, any tips from an exercise point of view? Like, would you recommend don't exercise, say, just half an hour before you go to sleep? Is there any gap like that you would say?
Yes. In fact, I would say that it is better to exercise at least 3 to 4 hours before you go to bed, right? So what happens is that when you exercise, you release adrenaline, right?
Yeah.
You release a lot of endorphin rush in your body, right? Your body undergoes a kind of a physical stress, although it's a eustress, it's a good amount of stress. So your body is already active, right? Your heart is pumping, your muscles are already contracting, right? So you need your body to relax and calm down before you go to bed. Like, imagine if you're working out maybe half an hour or 1 hour before your bed, your systems are already active. How do you get a good night's sleep, right? Which is very, very important. I think we missed this point in our previous question also. Like, sleep is so important with respect to your weight loss and also your overall health, right? So yes, we need to actually take this into consideration, that at least 3 to 4 hours is something, a gap if you could give. If not 3 to 4 hours, at least 2 to 3 hours, if that is possible, that would be great.
Perfect. And for those who are interested more in what Rahul just spoke about, the aspect of sleep and recovery, etc., I think in episode 20 or 25, I had interviewed your namesake, Rahul Hoidrum, and a fellow cult trainer as well. And we spoke a lot about sleep and recovery along with a sleep doctor, Dr. Satish as well. So anyone who's interested in any aspects of sleep and recovery, please go back and listen to that, because we discuss just for 45 minutes completely on sleep and recovery. All right, we have a couple of questions from people who are traveling and, might not have access to equipment as such. So I think the first one is fairly simple. This comes from Shiva on Twitter. I generally travel across various cities where cult gyms are not available. I like the fact that they have mentioned specifically cult gyms are not available, even though others could be. Please suggest some basic exercises to try at home or hotel to keep my fitness and weight loss journey alive. I think that's a nice spirit. To begin with, the fact that they still like to keep this going while they're traveling. So Rahul, love to hear from you on this.
Yes, I think there are various options. In fact, Cult Life itself has a plethora of options with respect to how you can work out from home or from your gym. You don't even need even equipment. Even if you have a basic resistance band, that is like well and good. But even if you don't have that also, you can definitely work out, right? In fact, in our Cult YouTube channel, we have a lot of home workout videos that you could actually access and then work out, right? It does not need to be a long 30, 40, 45, 50 minute of workout. Even just working out maybe 15 to 20 minutes and then maybe walking throughout the day can keep you active, like during the days that you are traveling. If that is also not possible, in case if you're not able to do, just pick up those 5 to 6 basic workouts, right? Some few upper body workout, like maybe let's pick up some push-ups, right?
Yeah.
Push-ups, squats, some good mornings, right? Some lunges.
Yeah.
Right. So this basic 4-5 movement, and maybe you can do a plank. Mm-hmm. Like let's take this 5 movement. One would be your push-up, which will work on your upper body, right? We take one, your lower body workout. Let's say we take a squat. The third, we take maybe a lunge, which is a single leg workout movement. Fourth, we can take a good morning, which is a hinging pattern, yeah. right? And fifth, maybe we take a plank hold, right?
Yeah.
We do all those movement, maybe 10 to 15 reps. We can do maybe 3 to 5 sets. Plank, we can hold for, let's say, some 30 to 45 seconds. And we are done with a decent strength workout for the day, right? It's
right.
a very simple thing. And
yeah.
the days you are traveling, you are basically ensuring that you are doing all those primary movement patterns that you need to work out on.
Yeah. And of course, for cardio, there are just so many other options as well, right? Be it high knees, be it side to side. There's just a lot of things for which you don't need any equipment at all. And, you know, if all else fails, just go back to burpees. That takes care of everything, including although you might just give up on the will to live after doing more than 50 of those. We all love burpees, don't we? And I think this also answers the question somebody else had, what basic exercises should one start at home for someone who has never worked out and wants to start. This was sent in by the Twitter handle MTV Subbalakshmi. And I think a lot of what you said, Rahul, for the previous question holds true for this, except since this person is going to be working out at home, they could possibly also invest in a basic pair of dumbbells, for instance, which increases what all they can possibly do.
Yes, exactly. The 5 movement which I spoke to you about just now, these are the most basic movement, right? Do some squats, right? You can do a variety of squat. You can either do a normal squat or do a sumo squat. You can change it every day, right?
Yeah.
Then do some push-up. Like in case you are new to push-up, maybe start off with a wall push-up or do a incline push-up. We definitely do have a push-up series in our Cult Live and also in our Cult YouTube channel. She can also refer there. Then you do some good mornings, which is a hinging pattern. Like if you have some dumbbells, you can do a deadlift with those dumbbells, right? That becomes a hinging pattern, and maybe do a plank, side plank, crunches. And definitely you can do some lunges and all, or a side lunges or a curtsy lunges. So there are various variations of all those movement. So keeping those 5 or 6 basic movement in mind, right? So let me answer this question in this way. So usually we have like 5 to 6 basic primary movement pattern that everybody needs to do, right? The first would be like 2 of them would be an upper body movement, like upper body push movement, like which is our push-ups or something, right? And then we have upper body pull movement. It could be a pull-up. If you can't do a pull-up, do a bent over rowing, right? Which works on your back muscles, right? Then similarly, we have for lower body, we have squats, and then we have single leg movement like lunges. Right. So 4 done, 2 more are left. One could be for your core, and that could be your plank, or you do a maybe a crunches or whatever you feel like. And then you have one as a hinging pattern, which you can do as a deadlift, or maybe you do a sumo deadlift, or you do a good morning. So this, if you follow this 5 to 6 basic primary movement pattern and find out few exercises from here, some variation of exercises for you, that will give you a good basic workout routine for at least a couple of weeks time. And that's a good place to start off with.
Yeah, yeah. And of course, if you're traveling, it always helps to just be involved with something that is slightly physical in nature, like a hike or something like that, you know, basically mix fun and travel together. The next question I think will be for Chandni. This comes from Mega. I'd love to ask, what tweaks can one make in one's diet to perform better in high intensity workouts? I think that's an interesting question.
Yeah. So basically, when you're doing a high intensity workout, your body needs a lot of energy. So I would say, you know, like this is the time where you focus on your pre-workout meal.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're doing an activity for 1 hour or more than an hour, then ideally you need to be taking both simple carbohydrates as well as fats along with your meal.
Mm.
So fats take a little bit more time to digest and give out the energy, while the simple carbohydrates will digest quickly and give you the energy to do the session. So my idea would be a combination of banana and some almonds. So this would be very basic, but of course, you know, like you can increase and decrease the quantity based on how you would want to do the activity there. So take this like 30 minutes before you start your high intensity session, and also keep sipping water throughout the session. I think, you know, hydration is equally important. And, you know, like if hydration is not taken care of properly, then, you know, you might not be able to perform well as you are expected to be. So keep hydrating, keep sipping water throughout the session, and take this pre-workout and give a 30-minute gap, and then you can start the workout. So this is very basic, right? Yeah. I think this I would recommend for anybody who is looking for a high-energy pre-workout meal. Mm-hmm. So if you're doing a high-intensity workout, then I think, you know, a little bit more in terms of quantity can help in doing the activity as well.
Yeah, no, I think that's perfect. What do you think of, what's your opinion on energy gels? Like, I've seen a lot of people using these either during workouts or through long cycling rides, etc. Would that be a quick fix solution to something? Are they better replaced with something like a banana or coconut water? Just want to get your opinion on
these. You can use them. You know, it's not that, you know, you shouldn't be using them or anything, but like you said, it's a quick fix, right? Mm. It's not something that's natural. So if you look at it, you know, if you want something that's fresh and natural, you know, you're focusing on the overall health quotient, then you can go for the banana and the almond combination. But if you're somebody who is having a lot of work and, you know, like stuck with a busy schedule where you wouldn't be able to prep all these things previously and take it at the right time, then you can go for the other options as
Sure.
In fact, I think very well said. One thing we need to also understand is that when we do a high intensity workout, we basically don't do it for a very long duration of time. Right. We usually try to finish it within 30, 40 or 50 minutes at the max. Like, in fact, it becomes very difficult to even survive after first 20 minutes, high intensity workout. So those energy gels and all could be useful when you are in a long duration endurance workout, right? Like, let's say more than 1 hour or 1.5 hours or something, right? Yeah. Then you might need those energy gels because you need those like burst of energy, not burst of energy. You need some sustained energy that you require for long duration, right? And then you can have your energy gels. You can keep sipping your BCAA if you are like more than 1.5 hours or 2 hours of long distance cycling, running that you're doing. You can have that. But if you're doing it just in high intensity workout, which would be around 20 to 30 minutes, right? I think what Chandni mentioned, that's perfect, right? Like maybe having a banana or an almond, a good amount of simple carbs or a carbohydrate plus some fat 30 minutes before your workout, that should suffice, right? But in case if somebody is definitely doing a very long high intensity workout, let's say more than 60 minutes, which usually CrossFitters usually do, then you might require some those things also. But other than that, for most of us general population, I think this is good enough. Chandni mentioned.
Perfect. I'm glad Chandri mentioned that point about water as well. I think that's a very underrated aspect of working out. And that's one thing I've noticed with all the cult life classes as well. Like, you guys are actually just working out over there. It's not like you're doing select cuts, right? So it's very obvious that all of you are drinking water as well. It's quite nice. And it acts as a reminder for us as well that we should be taking a sip as well between reps. This is a potentially silly question when it comes from me. Is there a difference between taking cold water or lukewarm water during a workout? I am a cold water nut. So is that a bad thing, or should I just be having room temperature water? I know this is a potentially silly question, but hey, since I have the two of you over here, and since I'm the host of the show, I might as well get in my questions as well.
So I think when you're taking ice cold water, right, you might not be able to get back into that regular temperature and, you know, like get into the workouts that quickly. So this is a personal experience though, but I would like to know what Rahul is thinking. I feel room temperature water is the best when you're working out, especially.
Fair enough.
Yes, I think I agree with that. I think room temperature water is the best, I feel. Because see, what this is again a personal experience, what I feel, if you try to have a ice cold water or a lukewarm water, your body requires some time or energy to adjust that temperature, right? So your body's focus, rather than working on your muscles and all, it goes into your in your digestive system or wherever you are, like wherever the water goes in your body, right? So you don't want to do that. And also at the same time, I would also not like anybody to gulp a lot of water during workout, right? That might be a little bit difficult, or it might make it uneasy for somebody if they're doing a high intensity workout, or in fact, if somebody's doing a endurance workout, then also we need to be careful that how much water we are sipping, especially with endurance workout. A lot of time, if you keep sipping on water, we might also start losing a lot of electrolytes. So water intake is extremely important, very, very important. But again, we should not go into extremes of drinking a lot of water or very hot or cold water. I think room temperature water should be good enough.
Perfect. So that's one change for me to make as far as this is concerned. All right. So let's move on with some other question. Some other questions that we have about 10 or so left. Gunjan asks, what should our diet strategy be, especially people like us in the software industry who take up to one class per day at the same time, like early in the morning? I think they're off to a good start if they are sticking to one class per day. And by one class per day, I'm assuming they mean one workout class per day early in the morning. I don't think the diet strategy needs to be that drastic, but Chandani, any thoughts on this?
Yes, I think, you know, like the cult plate has to come in here.
Yeah.
It's the most important thing, and also it is very easy to follow. So this doesn't bring in a drastic change like you mentioned in your diet, right? So making drastic changes might not be lasting for a longer duration. If you're doing something that's not comfortable for you, your motivation might be high, but consistency might be a problem with that. So start small. So what I would recommend is to pick up something that's doable for you. So in the cult plate itself, we have like carbohydrates, proteins, and vegetables and fruits section, right? So pick up any one section and work on that. So I would say start with proteins. So make sure that you're adding at least one small portion of protein in your plate every day at every meals. So maybe you can start with one meal in a day and then two meals and then gradually move to all meals as well. But focus on that small change and make it a habit and then move on to the next changes so that it becomes a consistent part of your lifestyle. Yeah. And you don't need to think about diet or, you know, like something that I'm eating differently and, you know, like I'm choosing something different right now. So what will happen if I go back to my normal way of eating? I think you need to make this strategy the normal way of eating for you so that you don't feel like you're on a diet.
I think that's well said, right? You should feel like you're not on a diet. I think we discussed this as well in our episode. The best diet is one that you can stick to. As simple as that. Shivanand has a related but kind of basic question. How much food is enough food for weight loss?
Wow. So the quantity differs from person to person, right? So, you know, like my plate use is slightly larger than your plate. So there is no such set number that this is the quantity that you should be eating. So it depends on your appetite. So I think mindful eating comes into place here. So listening to your body and, you know, making sure that you get the right signals here. So eat when you're hungry. So when you're listening to your body closely, you'll know the difference between cravings and hunger.
Yeah.
So cravings is some, you know, you want to eat one specific food. Hunger is like, you give me anything. I'm actually famished. I want to eat. So when your body is asking for food, then, you know, like give that right kind of food and chew your food really well. And there is a point where you feel full, you know, like that is a cue for you to stop eating. Yeah. And when you're eating fiber rich foods, I think, you know, like this will help you fill your stomach faster and at the same time give you a lot of nutrients. And at the same time, you know, making sure that you stay in a calorie deficit.
Yeah, I think that's a lot of good advice. I think at least for me, the most important one has been controlling portion sizes, which the plate takes care of, and eating slowly. I think that's something that all of us in this, era of, there's always a screen in front of us when we are eating. I think just the aspect of eating slowly, mindfully, listening to the body, where, you know, both entering eating and exiting eating, I think that's a very, very sort of important and I'd say kind of underrated tip. Barun asks, how can we find out what is best for our body type in terms of balanced diet for nutrition and weight management? I like this question because one of the things I've realized is that there is no one size fits all sort of advice. I think it really varies depending on people's not just body type, but also their condition when, you know, there's the what's the situation at home for them to be able to work out, you know, all these kind of things. So I like questions like this, which make people kind of figure out what their individual factors are. So I think it's a good question. I'll just repeat the Barun's question again. How do we find out what is best for our body type in terms of balanced diet for nutrition and weight management? Kamri, obviously.
So, yes, ideally, the thing is that, you know, like, you know what suits you better. So there's no such thing that, you know, like, I diagnose and tell you that this is the food that suits you. I think you know your body better. So if you want to understand it better, then I think, you know, experiment with foods, try different types of foods and see what suits you better and what doesn't suit you. I think it works for allergy conditions as well. So you can see what is the right kind of food right for you. But at the end of the day, balancing the different kinds of food groups is the key to a successful health maintenance or overall weight loss and everything. So balance different types of food. For example, when you're looking at vegetables, you can choose any vegetable, you know, like eat the rainbow. There are different colors of vegetables. Pick up any color vegetable. Pick up one color and any vegetable in that particular color. So there are many options for you. So you can see which is right for you. So you like tomatoes, then go with tomatoes first. You know, like, I'm not asking you to eat bell peppers in the beginning. Yeah. You can choose that a little later if you don't like it. And if you don't, if it doesn't suit you, you have a lot of other options to pick up from there as well. Similarly for proteins. So what kind of protein choose, you know, like what you want to choose and what suits you better. I think I would recommend to try out the different kinds of proteins for your diet, because I think protein is something that takes a lot of time to digest and it might cause a lot of digestive issues as well if it's not the right kind for you. So check with that, and then once you feel comfortable with the right protein sources, then make that a part of your routine and start using it regularly in your diet. So I would say experiment. So see what you know. Only you can know what is right for you.
Yeah, I think that's such good advice, not just for this question, but, you know, so many others. And I think Rahul would definitely say the same thing for workouts as well. Really figure out what you like best, you react to mood-wise best, what your body reacts to best. And of course, there might be individual factors. For example, I had a hip surgery and I can't run, for instance. So I have to do swimming and cycling. And so, you know, for me, the options are limited that way. So figure out what works best for you. And yeah, like Chandni said, experiment. I love that point that you said about eat the rainbow of vegetables, as it were. And I'm trying to think what food is indigo colored, but I think we can get to these sort of things later. Somebody who's prefers to remain anonymous has sent in a very interesting question. I'm building muscle, and this will be more for Rahul, I'm assuming. I'm building muscle, but the scale is not budging, and technically my BMI still shows that I am obese, even though I am much fitter and I have, you know, built muscle and all that. What should I believe?
Okay,
so basically the question is building muscle, but the scale is not budging. My guess is that muscle just weighs more, so that, I mean, and it's better, but I'd love to hear from you, Rahul, what your thoughts on this are.
Okay. So I would ask the person that, are your clothes fitting better? Has your inches, like, did you see some inch loss around your waist, around your hips, or around your chest, arms, or something? If yes, that means you are building muscle and you are losing fat.
Right.
And as you rightly said, muscles are slightly more denser than your fat, right? Mm-hmm. So muscles usually take slightly lesser space than your fat. So you may look leaner, but you might be still weighing the same,
right?
And again, so BMI, or like, I'm sure like the person might have calculated their BMI and it has shown that they are still in obese category. BMI, although it gives a fair bit of idea, it's not the very right way to, it does not give you an idea how much muscle mass do you have, how much fat mass do you have, how much is your water content in your body, right? Or how much is your mineral content in your bones? It does not tell about all those things, right? But this is a good place to start off with. If you see that your inches are reducing, your clothes are fitting better, if you're feeling more energetic throughout the day, if you feel your strengths are improving, if you feel that you can just go on with your work without getting tired for long duration of time, that clearly means that you are definitely building muscle and strength, right? That's the first place to start off with. And if you still want to know that what's happening inside your body, best way to do a BC analysis done, like the body composition analysis done. These are available in most of the, in fact, we, in our all our cult gyms, we have BCM machines there. Get a BCM analysis done early in the morning, empty stomach. It will tell you how much is your fat percentage, what is your muscle mass in your body. Do it maybe every 4 to 6 weeks time. So that you know that how your body is moving, right? Weighing scale is not always, or BMI is not always the right right place where you can come to know that what's happening inside your body.
I generally the more I hear people, especially trainers and nutritionists, speaking with a little bit of disdain about people's obsession with the weighing scale, it just feels to me that it's time for a sort of like a better metric of sorts, you know, like a like a fitness number or something like that, that gives a more holistic sense of what your fitness is, rather than just the weight itself. And you're right about the BMI. If we go down the BMI route, then there are some very, very fit athletes out there who will technically be very obese purely because of numerator versus denominator. Interesting. So now I have another interesting sort of like advanced question, and I think this might be applicable to both of you. Somebody just wants to know the lowdown on creatine, and it's something I've been curious about myself. I've been hearing a lot about it and never really got into it. So how does it help, how to incorporate it, and so on? She goes on to provide a little more detail. I'm a reasonably fit 33-year-old female, working out regularly, have built up some muscle over the last few months. I take whey protein regularly, hit my protein goals, so all that sorted. Just curious about creatine. And there's a follow-up question somebody else had asked. Is it good for liver/kidney? So, yeah, I think just a lowdown on creatine over here is what people are looking for. Chandani, you want to take this?
Yes. So basically, creatine supplements, is something that can help you with the muscle gain and muscle building process as well. So there's already creatine present in your muscles. But also, you can take it by our diet as well. However, since you're looking for some goal-oriented results here, I think then a creatine supplement can boost up your process of gaining a better muscle mass and everything. I'll leave the question to Rahul, where he can answer on how to use it and when to use it and how does the workout helps you with that. Yeah. But this supplement does not, so of course, right, any supplement taken beyond a particular limit can cause issues there.
Yeah.
So of course, when you're taking that regularly and when you're not, and beyond recommended quantities, then you might face some issues. But if you're staying within the limits, I think, this is something that can help you with muscle building and maintaining a good muscle mass. So I think Rahul can give a better understanding here.
Yeah. So first of all, creatinine is one of the most researched supplement. Like, that's the first thing that I would like to say, like along with your whey protein. In fact, it has got more studies that we have actually done with creatine than compared to any other supplement that we have in
market. Really? Wow.
And to be very frank, it's one of the safest supplement. It can be taken. No two thoughts about it. Right. Do I need a supplement, or does that person need a supplement? It depends upon what is your goal, right? Mm-hmm. If you have been really eating well, you have a very specific goal of like pumping iron in the gym. Like, what does creatine do basically, right? It actually gives you a quick boost of energy, right? During that point of time, that helps you actually push slightly more, right? That's one of the basic advantages with respect to strength training that creatine gives, right? So if you have been following your diet quite well, you have been working out quite regularly, yes, creatine can definitely help, right? And it's okay to take. There are no worries about it. If somebody already has an underlying kidney issues, then please consult your doctor. Creatinine is not the right thing for you. In fact, even protein, you have to even be in protein restricted diet, right? So that's something. But for a normal healthy population, that's totally fine, right? How to take? you can do it in two ways, right? One, you can either take a loading dose of around 20 mg per day, right? And then you, after 5 to 7 days of loading dose, you can continue with your normal 2 to 4 grams per day, right? That's the maintenance dose. Or you can just continue with the same maintenance dose. Just that with the maintenance dose, it will take slightly longer duration of time to show you that those results, right? But with the loading dose, you are basically loading your, or you're saturating your cells with creatinine much earlier. Those are the two ways that you can take creatine. Right?
Interesting. And both are... Sorry, my question was, it's a pre-workout supplement, right?
It can be taken any time during the day. Okay. Best to take it along with a carb meal.
Okay.
Because that's when your creatine gets better absorbed in your body. So some people try to basically takes it as a pre-workout. But if you're taking it regularly or like for quite some time, it does not matter when do you take it. Basically, what you need to do is that you need to saturate your cells with creatine. Right. Mm. And if you continue to take it for months altogether, any time of the day that you take, it will work. Does not matter that way.
All right, perfect. I think that clarifies a lot about creatine, and so I think there are some disclaimers in there. I don't think people who are like not working out, especially strength training, should not be taking creatine. At least that's the feeling that I'm getting from what you said, Rahul.
Yes, that is also the recent studies even have shown that even for children it's fine to take creatine.
Oh, okay.
Right, that's the recent study that which I read. Right.
Okay.
So I won't say it's a very, like, I don't know why people feel that creatine is something like you need to be careful about. The bottom line is it's a very safe thing to take.
Got it.
Right. But not every safe thing you need to take it. Like, I know there are a lot of safe things in the around.
That's well said.
Yeah. But do you really need it? Right. Yeah. Right. Do you really need it? So if I'm not hungry, do I need to go and eat an apple? I don't need to, right? It's the safest thing around. So it's something like that. If I don't need it, so why do I need to take it?
I think that's well said. If you don't need it, then why have it?
Why to take it?
All right. Yeah, lovely. Some more basic questions over here. And I think there's a little bit of, I want to say frustration in this one. My weight loss curve has plateaued. Not sure why. I've been a regular member of Cult doing in-center classes regularly. And I've been keeping a check on my diet. Wish I had a little more info on this because I'm sure you'd want a little more info before giving an answer. But what would you say to someone who's a little frustrated that the weight loss has plateaued?
So for weight loss plateau, I think, you know, the body has got used to whatever you're doing right now. So so like Rahul mentioned in the first question, right, our body is smart on its own. So if you consider it to be a person, you know, like that would be the smartest person in the in the room with you know, amongst us.
Yeah.
So this, you know, when you're doing a particular strategy for weight loss, when you're trying to, when you go on a diet, when you start working out and all these things, in the beginning, the body is seeing some new things that are happening around. So it starts losing weight, you know, like it spends a lot of energy on these new things where the fat burning happens.
Yeah.
However, after a point of time, the body knows that you're going to work out at this time and you're going to eat this particular food. So it adapts to that particular routine and, you know, like the energy utilization becomes a little lesser. So automatically, you know, the weight loss goes into a plateau here. So that's why we generally recommend a small change at regular interval kind of a routine. So when you start making small changes regularly in your routine, then, you know, you're surprising your body regularly. So automatically the weight loss is consistently happening. If you do a drastic change and you continue it for a longer duration, then automatically the adaptation happens and, you know, the weight loss plateau occurs. So here, I think the best way to go about it is to make sure that you're doing something different again, you know, like follow a different pattern of workout. You know, like if you're doing cardio more and strength less, then, you know, like do a little bit differently and do different techniques of workout, which can help you, you know, which can surprise the body a little bit, little bit more. And in terms of diet, you know, like, so when you're following a healthy eating pattern, so it's not just about, you know, eating the right food, right? It is when to eat and how to eat as well. So focus on, so the focus from what to eat has to go into when to eat and how to eat.
Yeah.
So the time restricted eating, you know, like eating in the 12-hour window period that can also help in terms of weight loss or bringing the weight loss plateau down. And also, you know, like mindful eating, which I previously mentioned, you know, chewing your food really well and listening to your body and giving the right kind of right kind of food at the right timing. Yeah. That can also help in terms of breaking the weight loss plateau. I think Rahul can add more on the workouts part.
Yep. So I usually keep saying this line to a lot of people, like in fitness industry, right? Most of the people, they overestimate the calories they burn while they work out and underestimate the calories they consume.
Nice, right?
So what happens is that a lot of time this weight plateau happens for various reasons. I think Chandni mentioned about the bringing some changes into your routine, bringing some changes into your variety in terms of your workout, right? Your body get used to it. That's something, right? You might be burning maybe 300 calories with a 40 minutes workout today, but your body, if you do the same workout over a period of time, you might end up burning lesser calories. Your body gets more, it's smarter, like it's very smart, right? Similarly, with respect to nutrition, something which Chandni already mentioned, right? Like, see what you are eating. Maybe you feel that you have been eating a very balanced diet, right? But what about your snacking options, right? So are you snacking right, right? Or maybe once you have lost your weight, are you still consuming the same thing? Because your body now requires slightly lesser calories. So you cannot keep eating the same amount of calories.
That's a good point.
Right. When you were 80 kgs and you are 70 kgs and you still expect to lose more weight because you're still eating the same amount of calories. Mm. Right? Apart from this, very importantly, what's your sleep routine? Are you sleeping enough or not? Right. Like, are you sleeping 7 to 8 hours or not? Mm. Right? That's very important, because if you're not sleeping, that can also hamper your metabolism. That can lead to increase in ghrelin, and the leptin also can go down, right? So stress hormones can come up. That itself can stall the weight loss process.
Yeah.
So all those things comes into picture. It has to be holistic kind of, it has to be multimodal kind of a engagement that we need to do.
Yeah, lovely. What I loved about your answers over there was Chandni spoke more about workouts and Rahul spoke more about eating. It's kind of interesting how the tables are flipped. So I myself am like, I when I was listening to your answers, there's this dichotomy in my head, right? There's one school of thought that says you should be consistent, you should do the, you should eat your meals at the same time and all that. And the other, try to find a fixed time for workouts and all that. On the other hand, there's also the surprise your body element, right? Shake things up.
Yes.
And I'm assuming one of those could also be workout at different points of time, etc. How do I reconcile these in my head? At one point of time, there is a case to be made for consistency and doing things as per routine. At the other, there is also the surprise your body element, so that it doesn't go into a sort of stagnation almost. How do I reconcile these two differing facts in my head?
Okay, sorry, Chandni, please go ahead.
No issue. So basically, what happens here is, like, when we say you work out, keep surprising your body with different workouts, or, you know, eat differently. So you work out at the same time, you know, you need not change the duration of the, or the timing of the workout. Keep continuing with that, but change the technique of the
workout. Got it.
And coming to the diet part as well. So, you've been eating healthy, so you've been following the MyPlate concept, and, you know, you've hit a plateau right now. So what happens after this, you know, like, start following a time restricted eating, you know, like start from 9 to 9, 12 to 12 hour fasting window. Then gradually, you know, like, try to shift into a lesser window if you like to do it. Mm-hmm. So that way, you know, you're increasing the fasting duration where the body has a lot of time to focus on the recovery and a lot of other works except for digestion.
Got it.
I think, you know, like, we are giving so much of food into our system that the body focuses only on the digestion part.
Right.
Like, a lot of other metabolic activities are also there for which the body has to, take the focus from digestion to the other side.
Yeah.
So the longer fasting hours can help in this.
Okay.
So you can focus on time-restricted eating or intermittent fasting here, and also how to eat, right? So there are three questions questions that you will ask: what to eat, when to eat, and how to eat. So when you say what to eat, it's more of the balanced eating pattern and, you know, choosing the right kind of nutrients for yourself. When you say how to eat, then automatically hear where the mindful eating comes in. So listening to your body and finding the cues and, you know, eating at the right meal duration and all those things. And are you craving for food or are you hungry? And, you know, like understanding all these things. So that comes under the how to eat part. And when to eat is the time duration for time restricted eating and intermittent fasting and all those things come in, you know, which in correlation with your circadian rhythm. Right. So the circadian rhythm also hits with a workout pattern as well. So there are certain duration where you need to work out, which is really good for your body, and certain times where you're not supposed to be working out, like Rahul mentioned, at least 3 to 4 hours before you go to bed. Try not to do any workout at that time, because it can interfere with the melatonin secretion, which is your sleep hormone. And because there's an endorphin rush, there's a serotonin rush, and, you know, that can interfere with the melatonin secretion, which can affect your sleep. So try to keep these at the right timings, but keep changing the technique of how you eat and how you work out. Yeah. That can help you in breaking the weight loss plateau.
Interesting. Yeah, and plus keeps things interesting for you as well. All right, we're moving towards the last few sets of questions over here. I think since you had brought up IF, we have the inevitable question on IF in this year. I'm actually surprised there's not a single question on keto. I guess that that fad is being phased out, I suppose.
Yes.
Country. It's kind of interesting to see, right? Maybe we should keep doing these AMAs to get a sense of what is it that people are actually worrying about. And IF is obviously one of the big things on people's minds right now. Should you do IF if you are trying to be on a calorie deficit diet?
You can. So calorie deficit is basically eating the right kind of nutrients for yourself. So, choosing the right kind of food with the right kind of nutrients. The intermittent fasting can help you do this in a better way, because, you know, the eating hours are reduced, where it is either 8 hours or from 8 hours to 12 hours. So during this time period, there are people who can't, you know, like there is an opportunity for you to skip one meal altogether. So which automatically puts you into an overall calorie deficit. But that doesn't mean that you can eat anything and everything. I think let's get that cleared right away. So you have to be on a healthier diet. But the only thing is that you'll be eating lesser and you'll be eating in a particular duration and not beyond that duration.
Yeah. And for Rahul, same person asked, what kind of workout is ideal for a calorie deficit diet?
Any workout. Yes. Yeah. And do not forget to do a strength training, because when you are in a calorie deficit, if you do not prioritize strength training, your body, again, at one side, when I say your body is very smart, on the other hand, your body does not discriminate. When you are in a calorie deficit, it can you can lose weight from your muscles and your fat cells both, right? Including your water weight, right? So if you do not prioritize strength training, you'll start losing a lot of your muscle mass, and that's not healthy in your long in the longer term, right? Apart from you being prone to injury and various other medical issues and ailments, it can also definitely slow down your metabolism. So prioritize strength training, especially when you are in a calorie deficit diet, and do cardio. Cardio is very important, but we should not always associate cardio with weight loss. Cardio has various benefits. In fact, we should associate cardio with better cardiovascular health, better endurance, better lung capacity, decrease of various metabolic disorders, BP, cardiac issues, and all everything. We should associate cardio more with that rather than just weight loss.
Yeah, that's interesting. And it's interesting you brought this up. I remember seeing one chart on Twitter yesterday, global causes of death, which has everything ranging from, you know, what have you, viruses to even things like homicide and things like that. And far and away, number one is cardiovascular diseases. Like, it wasn't even a contest in terms of number one. And I mean, I don't even remember what number two was, but it was such a... I think that speaks for itself. She has another very interesting question. What is the best way to assess gut health?
Assess gut health. I think when you want to assess your gut health, I think it is to understand, you know, like, is your digestion happening well? are you able to get the benefit? So, you know, your energy levels, check your energy levels and check your, you know, if you're working out, then muscle mass percentage mm-hmm. and all these things. So are you getting the nutrients that you're giving into your system? So that is one way to understand. And also, are you facing any kind of digestive issues? So bloating, flatulence, or acidity, or you know, constipation. So all these issues, if you're facing any of these issues, then it automatically means that your gut health is not okay. So if you're not facing any of these things and your bowel movements are as good as possible, then I don't think, you know, you might have any gut health issues as such. But however, if you're facing even a simple bloating issue or flatulence issues, then I think, you know, you need to give a little more importance on what you eat. And these are the ones which can easily help you in mm-hmm. assessing your overall gut health.
Got it.
And you know, the last one, which is the most important one, is your skin, right? I think whatever happens inside your gut, your skin is the reflection of it. So you can automatically see, you know, like I think a lot of people get breakouts in their skin if they are gut, you know, if they are not giving the right kind of nutrition for the gut as well. So that can also be a sign mm-hmm. and a symptom for you to assess your gut health.
Interesting. Are there any tests or something that people can do to?
There are plenty of tests. I think, you know, that you can test your gut bacterial health, and mm-hmm. you can test your overall gut health that way. There are a lot of tests that way, but I would say qualitative research about yourself can help you can help you understand your body better.
Yeah. I think gut is very interesting, and mood also, right? This is saying that the gut acts as a second brain in some
yes.
In some ways. I think that's a very interesting concept. All right, last three questions. So yes, the two are extremely specific and has a lot of numbers in them. Shivani asks, is it possible to get in shape in 5 months, 65 kilos to 52 kilos? I'm sure Rahul and Chandni, you get questions like this a lot. So that's 7 kilo loss in 7 months. What do you say?
Yes, why not? Okay, Chandni, so I just take this question up. Yes, it is possible. It is possible to lose 7 kgs in 7 months. Why not?
5 months, actually.
Sorry, yeah. In 5 months, yes, it is possible. I think, in fact, I feel even it is a healthy way to lose weight. Initial month, maybe you might see a slightly faster weight loss. But over a period of time, maybe that weight loss might slow down. But I think 7 kgs in 5 months is it's doable. That's what I feel. Chandni, your thoughts around it?
Of course, yeah. I think I agree with that. You know, like losing. So ideally, we say, you know, like 2 kg per month is what the ideal weight loss number is. You know, if you're following the healthier strategy here.
Yeah.
So I think why not 7 kgs in 5 months? We can do that.
Yeah.
And so ideally, when you're doing a healthy weight loss strategy, you might see inch loss happening as well, side by side. Weight numbers might not be the only factors that you are determining your overall weight loss weight. So inch loss is also something that you might have to consider. If you're doing a muscle training as well, you know, like doing a lot of strength training, then you'll be gaining muscle mass as well, for which, you know, the numbers in the weighing scale might not budge that easily. So you need to think about that also.
Yeah.
So I would say consider inch loss as a part of your weight loss program and see how your clothes feel better and how stronger you feel.
Yeah.
That is also important.
Yeah, think beyond the weighing scale. Once again, we go back to our favorite topic. And Raghav asks, my body fat percentage is 10%. I believe that's impressive. And BMI is 21. I eat clean. I do both resistance training and cardio regularly, but I am not muscular. How to build muscle hypertrophy? Rahul, muscle hypertrophy, two words that right up your alley.
Yes. So basically two things that will work, like since you will have to again prioritize strength training, maybe 80 to 90% of your training should go to strength training, and hypertrophy, basically you do maybe 8 to 12 reps kind of a range of workout. So that's, or you can even go up to maybe 14 or 15 rep. 8 to 15 rep is the rep range of most of your workout that you could go. Include a lot of, you will have to be in a calorie surplus diet, right? Because to build muscle, you would need a lot of protein, and you would also need a good amount of carbohydrate to fuel your muscle building process, apart from that when you work out, right? So I would say these are the two things. But the third very important thing is that, in fact, weight gain in a very healthy way, it's still more a slower process than weight loss, right? So you need to be extremely, extremely patient. Like if you want to gain weight in a very healthy way, muscle building definitely takes a lot of time, right? It cannot happen like overnight or something. On the other hand, if you just want to gain weight, you can do it overnight. So we have to be patient. Again, 80 to 90% of the time, do a lot of strength training, right? Be in a calorie surplus, eat good quality food, good quality lean protein, or also maybe you need to increase a little bit of carbohydrate in your diet. But again, a good quality carbohydrate. By carbs, I don't mean those simple sugars and all, drink a lot of juices or maybe sugars and all, or all those things. But good quality carbohydrate, a complex carbohydrate you need to have, and keep patience.
All right, perfect. I think we have actually done with all the questions that people have sent in. But since I'm here, I'm going to take the opportunity to, since I've already taken up a lot of Chandani's time during a previous interview that we've done. Rahul, there's a question that I have, which is very unrelated to everything that we have spoken about till now, which is about you know, fitness and all that. I actually want to ask you about your experience of... let me start this way, right? Before we began this AMA, I told you that I have worked out with you many times virtually, virtually through Cult, and I have noticed how the production quality and just the general user experience, if I may, has improved so much over the 2 years. So I just want to ask you, as a trainer who's trained people physically as well as now in front of a camera, how are these two experiences different? Like, what are some of the factors that you consider while shooting, knowing that people are not reacting to it live, but rather it's going to be packaged, produced nicely, and put up later for consumption, for video on demand for whoever wants it? So I just want to ask you what that experience has been like for you.
Okay, that's a very interesting question, and I'm glad you asked this question, right? When you take a class, when you're taking a physical class, right, in an offline kind of experience, you keep getting those regular feedback, right? Like how the person is doing, how much is the, what is the energy level, what is the form and all, everything. So you get regular feedback. So it's slightly more easier to motivate them, help them, and help them in the process, right? However, when you are doing in a Cult Life, we basically have to ensure that our energy is very high, so that, because energy is infectious, right? If we are not energetic, if we are not positive there, nobody would love to do our classes. That's the first thing. Secondly, very importantly, the instructions has to be very, very clear and crisp. In an offline setting, you have an option of making those smaller changes, improving their technique bit by bit. Here, you just have very small opportunity. You just have to tell this is how you perform this movement in very simple 2 or 3 lines, so that people can understand and perform it then and there itself. You don't know what's happening there. You don't get a live feedback there, right? So these two things are very important. One, just keep your energy high, because if you are not energetic, like you know, I know that you are not able to see the person there, but I'm sure, 100% sure, the person is also not going to put his most, the high amount of effort if you're not energetic. And secondly, keep your instructions very clear, right? So these two things we need to keep in mind.
Yeah, so this is fascinating. And I know it has nothing to do with the topic of today's conversation, but it's definitely something that I hope to do a later episode on with the team that was behind this entire transition, because I find how, you know, the transformation of Cult in some ways from offline to now online during the pandemic, now back to hybrid, of course, I think it was fascinating, and the production quality and all that must have been great. And whenever I was doing these workouts, I was thinking, like, what's on the trainers' minds? Like, what's going through their heads? Like, do they also like, now we have to do it in front of a camera and all that? So I think it'll be great to do an entire episode on just that. But as for today, that's all we have. You've answered close to, I think, 20 questions that people had sent in, ranging from, you know, my weight loss is plateauing all the way to creatine. So thank you, Rahul and Chandani, so much once again for your time. You generously spent an hour answering people's questions. Hopefully we can do more of these AMAs in the future, maybe have them more targeted to specific topics. But I think in terms of piloting. I think this was a great first episode, and hopefully people will find your answers useful. So thank you both once again for coming on.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
And I hope you enjoyed that AMA. And if you're one of the 20 odd people who had submitted your question, I hope you got a sufficient answer. Please do ping Chandani and or Rahul and thank them for the answer. And indeed, if you have a follow-up question, please feel free to ask them as well. We'll see how to take these AMAs ahead. Might do more of these in the future, depending on what you think. So let us know. Let us know what you think about this format. Let us know if you have more questions. We'll save them for the next AMA and make sure that we get the answer across to you. For now, this is Deepak, your host, aka Chuck, signing off. Take life one rep at a time. See you next week.
You've been listening to One Rep at a Time by Cult Fit. Follow us on Spotify, Apple Music, or wherever you get your podcasts. If you're looking for sustainable weight loss coaching, check out the Cult Transform program on the Cult Fit app or website. See you on the next episode.